Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Go with me quickly to the vision. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. So here's the idea. We're out to do the will of God. That's the call of God on our lives. And we've been talking about renewing the mind, and without the renewing of the mind, you cannot prove the will of God. You cannot prove the will of God. So, look what it says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, a believer is placed on earth to demonstrate and prove the will of God in his family, in his or her family, on their jobs, in their community, in their neighborhood. So, remember, what's the word prove? To authenticate. So I'm an authentic believer, okay? Or it also means to pass the test. I go through difficult things, but I remain faithful to God, and he's the one I'm putting my trust and faith in. So I'm passing the test. I'm proving to others that he's who I'm serving. And then number three, examine. So I can examine to see if I'm in the will of God. My life, I can examine myself. But guess what? I can examine others, other people, to see if I'm in the will of God. If the people that are in close proximity in my life, that's what's going to steer and guide my life. When you're 90 years old, you'll look back and the people you allowed around you are what got you to where you are. Wherever you are, if you're in a roof with leaking and you love Jesus and over in Africa, that's okay. It's the people who you surrounded yourself with. If you're in a prison, if you're miserable, it's because of the people you let in close proximity in your life. But if you have a life of fulfillment and you look around before you take your last breath and you know you've done the will of God, it's because of the people you've surrounded yourself with. You see that? So we need to know. That's not judging people. I'm not judging them. I can just examine. I don't have to hang around them. I can love them from a distance, right? You see this? It's the people you hang around with. So we have to be aware of that, because they are going to either help you in the will of God or they're going to move you away from the will of God. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good habits. When you have good habits, the people you're around corrupt your good habits. You see this? Your good habits won't turn them around. It's their bad habits will take your good habits and corrupt your good habits. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? So this is why we need to be aware of, am I proving the will of God? Because it's everybody's call on everybody's life is to fulfill His will on your life. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. So, it's His will is peace, for you and I to have peace. Not to be full of anxiety, not to be worrying, not to be fretful, not to be discouraged, but we are to have peace, right? Because confusion and strife is not the will of God. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He's the author of peace. His authority only is in peace. You see, when you have peace, now you have authority. Now you have authority over the things that used to control you. They no longer control you because you have peace with God. And your peace and your love for God outrules and out is greater than anything coming out here. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? Anything in the environment or what's around you, it's greater in you. See, here's the problem. We come in a place like this, and we want to talk about God. We want to, you know, praise our hand. We want to praise. But then we go out, and the pressure's on our jobs. The pressure's on. And we cave, and we give in because we're too worried about what people think. And we're too worried about the things that are annoying us. You see, and we're too over-concerned, and we cave. You know what it reminds me of is I remember when I first got married, we'd go to the store, and we'd go to this big grocery cart, and they'd have all these cans in the grocery cart that had dents in the side of them. Those dents in the side of those cans were not from dropping them. Those dents were in the side of those cans because the barometric pressure on the outside was greater than the pressure inside the can. So now the cave caved in. The can caved in. You see, that's what we do. We don't want people to think we love Jesus and put Him first in our life. Because that says we're weak. But God says that's strong. You see that? And we cave in when the pressure's on. Just like those cans. And then we just become something on the discount aisle. Are you catching this? Come on, are you catching this? Now, go with me to Proverbs. What did I tell you? Proverbs, is it 24:17-18 or 23:17-18? 23:17-18. Now listen to me. So we've been talking about comparison. Envy is the root of comparison. How come people compare themselves with everybody else? You know what? Comparison is never good. Actually, go with me to 2 Corinthians 10:12. Comparison is not healthy. When you compare yourself with other people, what they have and what they don't have, and you want what they have, and you understand? Comparison is one of the most unhealthy things you can do, is to compare yourself with other people. That's saying that you're not content in who you are and who God made you to be. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing you can understand is how much God loves you. See, because the greatest thing, true success, is you becoming you. Is you becoming the best you. Not trying to be somebody else, right? So here's the idea, look at this. But we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, finish it up for me. It's not wise. And the wise there is God's wisdom He's talking about. You're not operating in God's wisdom when you compare yourselves with other people. You're operating in envy. Now, go with me to James chapter 3. Verse 14 through 17. But if you have bitter, say it with me, and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, help me out, demonic. Self-seeking, the two words self-seeking in the Greek language means strife. So where there's strife and envy, there's every evil work. Did you catch that? This is why we gotta, and see, these things, you know what they do? They steal your peace. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. When you're in envy, you are under the influence of something else. And the enemy is coming in and stealing something from you. When you're in strife, the enemy is coming in and stealing from you. I remember when I first got married, I tell you, I wanted to give my kids more than I had. And I worked overtime, and that's all I did. That was envy. That's all that was. I wanted them to have what I didn't have and give them. You know why? Because it made me look good. You see that? My dad never taught me to follow Jesus. He was a good dad. I couldn't have had a better dad. He raised four kids by himself. But he got hurt in a church and never went back. And that's why I can't stand it when you get hurt. Because you know what? When you get hurt, you're saying the devil has won. You should never allow anyone to hurt you, to keep you from what God has for you. Are you with me? It's so important that we're aware of this. You know, I remember after I got saved, I was landscaping my house. I wanted to put some stones around the front. And my dad always grew vegetables in front of the house. I wanted to grow shrubs and make it look real nice, you know. So I went and got these stones, and I found this creek, and I got permission to go into this creek and get all these flat stones. So I got my son one day, and we're going to the creek, and we're going to get some rocks, and we're going to do this together, you know. So we're walking through this creek, and we're picking up these rocks and carrying them and putting them in this truck I had. Then I said, well, we'll just go play in the creek for a minute. So now we're walking in the creek. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, I looked around. Birds chirping, the sun was just beaming, and you know, it's only 8 o'clock, but we got all our work done, all the rocks in the truck. It's quiet, and my son is just happy, you know, he's kicking his feet, he says, Daddy, this is great. And I said, well, what are we going to do now, son? He goes, I don't even care, I just like being with you, Daddy. That's the way it is. That's what God wants. That's what your children want. They want you more than anything you can give them. That's what God wants. He wants you to like spending time with Him. When we compare ourselves with others, listen, here's what happens. People don't like it when other people are blessed more than they're blessed. They get upset. You ever been around somebody like that? If we cannot accept others' blessings, there's not something wrong with them getting blessed. There's something wrong with me. You see this? There's something wrong with me. Comparison makes us try to be something we are not. Comparison makes us try to be something we are not in order to measure up and feel good about ourselves. You can only be you. You cannot be someone else. Every person has a unique calling and destiny. If you feel like you have to be something special, some kind of professional doctor, you know, lawyer, whatever, something, you know, just to be accepted and to be something, that's wrong. God wants you to be you, not what you do for a living, right? God wants you to be you. That's what He's looking for. God created you to be you. So the only way you're ever going to truly succeed is to become you. Remember Peter? I'll never deny you, Lord. He was saying how much he loved God. I love you, God. I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, after the rooster crows, Three times, you're going to deny me three times. See, Peter was boasting about his love for God. Then remember John, we talked about last week. John said he was the disciple that Jesus loved. Remember that? And everybody laughed and thinks he was being bogus and proud. But you know he's not. John got the revelation how much Jesus loved him. You see that? And Jesus was trying to get Peter to the revelation that John had. You catching this? And then John writes in 1 John 4:10, this is the love of God, not that we love God, but that He loves us. That's what you should boast about. You should boast about how much God loves you, not about how much you love God. Because when you're out there boasting about how much you love God, you're going to fall on your face. Am I making sense? But when you begin to really understand how much God loves you, you want to be a part of the body of Christ. You want to be where God's people are. You want to get revelation. Because you know it's not the revelation is going to protect you from hurting yourself and hurting other people. Am I making sense? Because God loves you. You see? There's nothing you can do that God can't love you. That makes you so He can't love you. Nothing. No matter what you've done in the past, the guys on death row, God loves them as much as He loves you and me. Nothing. When you understand that, your life changes. And you're going to want to be a part of what God is doing. You're going to want to be a part of the body of Christ, the church. The church is the hope of the world. It is the hope of the world. I don't care what anybody says. The church, look at me, live stream, is the hope of the world. And where the church is, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's where we need to be. Because see, we want to look, that's all about our love. That's religion. When you talk about how much you love and the church, and you want to criticize the church, that's religion. But when you understand that God loves you, you are the church. Man, that changes things. That changes things. That makes me want to preach here in a minute. Let's look at this. Now, where did I tell you to go? For where envy, woo-hoo, there it is again, self-seeking exists. What is it? Confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy. See, this is the wisdom that's from above. See, this is what we're to walk in. But this takes time. This takes development. This is a life process. See, you come in here, and this is an environment where it's safe, and you get connected, and you begin to live these things out, and you begin to grow and mature in these things. Now watch. I'm supposed to be full of mercy. Mercy is, I'm not giving you what you deserve. I'm not going to give. You're being cantankerous and mean and a snake to me. I'm not going to give that back to you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. I'm not going to let you irritate me and cause me to get into a strifeful situation and spit that back on you. You see that? I'm going to love you and I'm going to encourage you. Now watch this. Full of mercy and good fruits, partiality without hypocrisy. Now look what it says. Pure, then peaceable. That's what the wisdom of God is. It's first pure, then peaceable. So in order to keep envy out from taking our peace, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Am I making sense? The antidote, Proverbs 23:17-18. Do not let your heart envy sinners. You know, he's talking about sinners, people who are in sin. If you are a born-again child of God, you're not a sinner. Did you hear this? It doesn't mean you're not going to sin. That doesn't mean you're not going to sin. But you're now considered a saint in the New Testament, the New Covenant. You see, when you understand God loves you, you're a saint. You're a saint. Everybody, if you're born again, say, I'm a saint. So now look. But he says, but here's the antidote to envy. But be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. The fear of the Lord. That word fear there means to honor and respect and to put first. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to honor Him. He's first. When He's first, envy can't get in. That's the antidote. That's the answer. That's the solution. But you've got to be on it to do that. Am I making sense? Now, verse 18. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Remember what hope is? A joyful anticipation of good. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. When I have joy, I have hope. When I have hope, I have joy. Joy is the manifestation of you having hope. You see that? Manifest means to bring from the unseen to the seen. You see, people that truly have joy, you can see it on them. They're full of joy. Why are they also? They're going through all kinds of problems, but they're still happy. That's joy. You see that? That's coming from the unseen to the seen. Here's the thing. We get envious and we start this comparing thing. And we see people on a platform, or we see somebody in a position that has a lot of influence. A lot of influence. The President of the United States. Little boys will say, I want to become the President of the United States. You see that? That's a person of influence. But now listen to me. Influence isn't as important as impact. Influence is not as important as impact. Impact changes the person. When you have impact in someone else's life, change has taken place. Influence can work towards that, but doesn't bring what impact does. A teacher has influence on all her students. But if she's a mother, she has the most impact on her children. You see that? A father, he can be a big head in a corporation and have a lot of influence, but his biggest impact, be it good or bad, is right there in his home, on his children and his wife. Am I making sense? And you know what? That's what God is looking at. Impact. You see this? And envy and self-seeking rob that away from you. They take it away. See, when you have that peace, you have impact. But now listen, where are we at? Back to, see, your hope will not be cut off. Joyful anticipation of good. Go with me quickly to Colossians 3:2. We've been talking about renewing the mind. Look what he says. Set your mind. What? Set your mind on things above. Remember, this wisdom comes from above. Remember, it's first pure, then peaceable, and then full of mercy. That's the wisdom that comes from above. Watch this. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So here's what happens. We come in here and we talk about God. We raise our hands to God. We do all this. But now when you leave, your mind returns to what it's set on. I remember my mom, at that place she stayed at, they had a beauty shop there. And she would get her hair curled. You know, it was real tight. And as a kid, I would pull on those curls. Bam! You know, just bouncing them on her head. You know, you're just curious, right? Well, I'd pull on that curl and go, boop, right back to where it was. It would return to where it was set. See, this is what happens in an environment like this. We leave, your mind will always turn to what you seek. Your mind will always go to the place and what you seek the most in your life. So when you leave an environment like this, you go out and your mind bounces right back to what it was set on. You see this? It's supposed to be set on things above. Are you catching this? But you see, we put too many things in front of God and before God, and now it's not set on the right thing. Are we making sense? Now give me James 4:8, and then we're going to look at James 1:8 real quick. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Remember, pure. Watch. You double-minded. You see, when you leave here and your mind goes directly to the thing you were seeking and it's not God, guess what? That becomes double-minded. You see this? When a young man gets engaged, when he gets engaged, he's in love. He's in love. Are you catching this? He's got his mind on his babe. He's in love. You don't have to tell him to think about her, right? He's got his mind on what he loves. You see this? He's not thinking about a bunch of other women. He's thinking about her. Did you catch this? That's the way we're supposed to be. But you see, it's just like having your mind on a bunch of other women when you go out. That's why he says you're an adulterous generation. It's double-minded. You feeling the weight of this? This is what creates instability in our life. This is why, you see, it's really faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is what? Love. If I love God, and God, and I know God loves me, my mind is not going to return to the football game. It's okay. Football is great. I love basketball. I watch basketball. I watched the game the other night. I like that, but that's not on my mind all the time. You see that? I like cars. I like motorcycles. That's not on my mind all the time. Am I making sense today?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.